we're going to cover a lot of ground. Now, how many of you were here with us on Wednesday night? Okay, good, good. You got anything from that? All right, we're talking in this series, we're talking about the Christ life, the victorious life. And on Wednesday night, we went to the one area that we talked about what? We're talking about faith, because anywhere you want to begin, if you're talking about being a Christian, if you're talking about the Christ life, you're going to have to talk about faith. Because the Bible tells us what? In Hebrews chapter 6, now chapter 11, verse 6, what does it say? But without what? It's what?
Impossible.
To do what? So without faith, it's impossible to do what? Please God. Now, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, familiar passage. Romans chapter 1, and look at verse 17. Are you there? Now, I'm reading from the King James Version. Okay? Are you there? Okay, now, let's read that together. Let me know. Are you ready? Let's read. For therein, no, I'll tell you, let's go up to verse 16, then we're going to focus on 17, because we want to keep them both together. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? The power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to who? The Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, who are we? So if we're the just, how are we to live? So if we're living by faith, who are we pleasing? All right, so you got it. Okay, now I'm talking to the right group here. So now, what I want to do is I want you to say this with me. I'm not going to do the confession like I normally do, because we're going to cover a lot of ground today. Say this with me. Say, for the eyes of the Lord,
for the eyes of the Lord
run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on the behalf of them
whose heart
is perfect toward them, towards him. Say it one more time.
For the eyes of the Lord,
run to and fro throughout the whole earth,
to show himself strong
on the behalf of them
whose heart
is perfect
towards him.
Now, in that scripture, we don't have time to really go into it, but just to break it down, when it says the eyes of the Lord, it's referring to the Holy Spirit. So we can say it this way. The Holy Spirit, say it, the Holy Spirit,
goes to and
runs to and fro
throughout the whole earth
to show himself strong
on behalf of them
whose heart is perfect towards him. Now, what I want to do, we're going to look at something. Now, on Wednesday night, we talked about faith. We talked about faith's necessary companions, right? Right? Y'all remember that on Wednesday night? And we also learned a little something about chili, right? Some people cook with rice with chili, but we learned a lot about chili. So if you want to know about that message, you can either download it or get that copy for Wednesday night. But this morning, what we're going to do, we're going to look at another area, another aspect of faith, right? And here's the first thing I want to say. Faith is not a movement. You know, some Christians think that faith, oh, that's that faith movement. No, faith is not a movement. Faith is really a biblical lifestyle. Say that. Say, faith is
a biblical
lifestyle. All right? Now, each and every believer is required and expected to live by faith, right? We just covered those scriptures, right? So what I want you to do this morning, turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Let me put this right here. And what we're going to look at this morning, we're going to look at faith, but we're going to look at it, how can I say this? We're going to look at it from another point of view. Okay, thank you for sharing it. Is everyone there? Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. Are you there? Now, I'm reading from the King James. Read along with your version as well. Are you there? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now move down to verse 6. But without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now in that verse, it says, without faith is what? Impossible to please God. But now it gives qualifiers. For he that comes to God must do what? Believe that, first of all, what? That God is, right? And what else? And that he is a rewarder of them that do what? Diligently seek him. So in other words, that's the operation of faith. Believing that God is, right? That he is. But believing that God can do what he said he can do. But then also he's a rewarder of who? Those who occasionally see him? Diligently seek him. Okay, now what I want you to do in Hebrews chapter 11... Now, once we go past all of that, we're going to see people that the writer of Hebrews mentions, right? He mentions Samson. He mentions all of these other people. So think of it this way. Hebrews chapter 11 is really the hall of faith. It's talking about men and women who did exploits for God, and then their names are recorded where? In Hebrews chapter 11. Got that? Now, we're in Hebrews chapter 11. Move down to verse 33. Yeah, move down to verse 33. Because he goes through a list of a whole bunch of people, right? We're not going to focus in on those. But now look at what he says here. Verse 33 and 34. Who through faith, read it with me, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped at the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong, and waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Now, here, what he's saying is this. In this, he's the writer of Hebrews. He mentions all these people, but then he's telling you what they did, right? So this morning, what we're going to do, we're going to take a little journey on this. You want to come with me?
Yeah.
Now, you know, in sports, professional sports, every professional sports, whether it's baseball, football, basketball, hockey, they have what? A Hall of Fame, right? Now, who gets into the Hall of Fame? Those that displayed extraordinary athletic ability, right? But I'm here to tell you this morning, and the Holy Ghost gave me this message for you this morning, that in the kingdom of God, everybody qualifies for the Hall of Faith. You got that? So it's not the best singer. It's not the best preacher. We all qualify for this, right? And what the Holy Ghost wants us to do this morning, he wants us to look at what I call the life of faith. Say that. Say the life of faith. Now, what we're going to do is, in this little walk we're going to take, now I'm going to paraphrase some things, so please bear with me because of time and everything. I want to keep everything in this context. But we're going to look at some people in the Bible. We're going to look at some people that are in the Bible. And I'm going to show you how they made the Hall of Faith, okay? Everyone got that? So you ready? In other words, we're going to look at people who were ordinary people. They were just like you and I, ordinary people, but they did extraordinary things for God. Natural people like you and I, but did supernatural things in the kingdom of God. Amen? All right, so let's turn to our first person, okay, in this Hall of Faith, or the life of faith. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, are you there? Okay, I'm turning there right now myself. Okay, Joshua chapter 2, and let's begin at verse 1. We're going to read 1 and 2, okay? Let's read. And Joshua, the son of Nun, set out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went. And they came unto a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Hold it right there. Look at that. One more time. He sent, now follow this. Joshua sent how many people? Two spies, right? He sent 2 spies to go search out the land and really to survey Jericho, right? Now, think about it this way. I use I'm a creative guy. I think, you know, I think I read the scripture, but then you meditate on it, you start to see other things. Now, Joshua sends these two nice young Jewish boys, right? Now, follow me on this. He sends them to go survey the land, right? And where did they wind up at? They went where? A harlot's house, right? Her name is Rahab, right? And it says, and I like how the King James says it, and they lodged the night there. So it wasn't a drive-by. They were spending the night there. Now, here's what I want to do. I use my little imagination. Just follow this with me. Let's say if it was today, right? And I'm Joshua, right? And I'm sending Moses, and I'm sending another young guy. Go spy out the land, right? So now they go, right? So all of a sudden, my phone rings. My cell phone rings. Bring, 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 bring. I pick it up. Yeah, what's up? And they're going to say, hey, this is Josh. Yeah. Yeah, we're here. We're in Jericho. Where you at? Where we at? Oh, we're in Rahab's. We're at Rahab's. He wants to know what Rahab. No, it's not a bed and breakfast. Now, I see some beds, but I don't know if they serve breakfast. Hey, Josh, we got to go right now. We got to hang up because the king's popos are coming here. We got to hide out. We'll talk to you later. Hang up the phone, right? That's how I imagine that, right? They were there, right? Now, let's see what happens, right? Verse 2. Give you a little imagination. Now, I like this one. Look at this verse. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. Somebody was watching on the wall, right? So somebody tells the king, hey, two guys came into town, right? But now look what the king did immediately, verse 3. And the king of Jericho did what? To who? Now, how do you know to call for her? New meaning to the word call girl, right? But anyway, he calls her in, right? Now listen, he's calling for her, right? So the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men which come into thee, which entered into thy house, for they have come to search out all the country, right? And the women, and the woman, Rahab, now look what Rahab, remember we're talking about exploits, right? And Rahab took the two men and did what? Hid them. And thus there came men unto me, but I'm going to change what the King James says. In other words, she hid them, and she's telling the king's officers that are coming, they came, but I don't know where they went, you know? So she hid them, right? Let's keep on going here, right? And it came to pass about the time of shutting the gate. So in other words, Jericho had open house during business hours. So they came in that way, and they wound up in Rahab's house. So now it's closing time for the town. The doors are closing, right? Now listen, it was dark, time of shutting the gate, and the men went out. And whether the men went, she says, I don't know, right? But now look at this. But she had brought them up to the roof, that's verse 6, to the house and hid them under a stalk of flax. In other words, she hid them under the roof and under flooring. You know, that's where they get the idea of flooring. You know, level here in the floor, right? So she hid them so nobody can find them, right? But now listen, and the men pursued after them in the way to Jordan. In other words, the men went the other way, right? And as soon as they were finished, the gate was shut. Now look at verse 8. And before they were laid down, before night, she came up to them upon the roof, right? And look at verse 9. Are you there? Read it with me. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Verse 10. For we have heard. Now, how does faith come? Notice what she's saying. We have heard, right? How the Lord did what? Dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Verse 11, and as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there any remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now, did you hear that? Now, here's the interesting thing about this. See, the religious mind, and that's why I'm going to encourage you, let's not look at the word of God religiously. See, because a religious mind would say, but she's still a whore. She's still a harlot. But you know what? God came to her. Faith came. It had nothing to do with her profession. It had nothing to do with her position. And I'm not saying, well, we're not trying to endorse illicit, you know, things. No. But you know what? The eyes of the Lord do what? They run to and fro. What are they looking to do? To show themselves what? Strong on those, on who? On those whose heart is perfect towards them. Did you hear Rahab's faith? We have heard. And she gave the account. We heard about you at the Red Sea before you were coming. We heard when you came over on this side and how you wiped out those two kings. We heard. And what happened? He says, and our hearts did melt. So in other words, the people in Jericho were scared. Folks, I'm here to tell you, the people in the world is afraid of you. Amen. They heard about us. They know what we can do. Right? But now listen to this. Let's go back to Rahab. This is why she got into the hall of faith. Are you ready? Are you ready to see how she got in? Look at verse 13. Look at what she says. She says, and that ye will save alive my father. No, go to verse 12. Go to verse 12. Verse 12, Joshua chapter 2. Now, therefore, I pray you. Listen to what she's asking the men. Swear this unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you this kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, that ye will save alive my father and my mother, my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Did you notice? Did you hear what she said? She wasn't even thinking about herself. Her house is what? The whorehouse, right? No, I'm being real. She said, but she said, remember my father, my mother, my sisters and brothers. They're not in her house. They're somewhere else. They're somewhere else in Jericho. But she said she was more concerned about her, because she knew it was going to come. She said, we know that you're going to bring this down, but when it goes down, look out for my family, right? Now, let's see what happens. Let's go a little further. The men answered her, our lives for yours. If you utter not this business, in other words, if you keep your mouth shut, we'll honor the deal, right? And I'll tell you one thing about Rahab. She knew how to keep her mouth shut, right? And it shall be when the Lord hath given us this land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Now look at verse 15. Then she let them down with a cord. So where was her house? On the wall. Her house was on the wall. I believe it was on a corner of the wall. As you come into the town, you make a left. There's her house, right? So she's letting them down. She's letting them down with what kind of cord? A scarlet cord, a red cord. She's letting them down. Now follow this. The agreement was when we come into the city, this is what they told her. You bring your family into this house. Remember that house of ill repute? That house of ill repute now become a rescue mission. And she said, and they said, that red cord that you let down, you put that red cord over the door, over the window, and we know that no harm will come to you. What is that a type of? Red cord, deliverance. We have been delivered, right? We've been delivered, and we've been saved. The name of the Lord is, what does it say? Is a strong tower. And the righteous do what? Run into it and they are safe. So that was a type of salvation. You got that? Amen. Now, here's the interesting thing. We know the rest of the story, right? Now, here's the interesting thing. City went down. Rahab was spared. Now, I don't know if any of you ever known this, but turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. Because Rahab just didn't go away. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Turn there. Now, my Bible students know about this, but I want them to be quiet. You can shout after we all get it, okay? Now, remember that woman? Remember I told you that her profession? Her profession had nothing to do with her faith. Her faith catapulted her to greatness, whether you realize it or not. Are you at Matthew? Look at chapter 1, look at verse 5. Now, this is the recording of the genealogy of who? Jesus. This is his family tree, right? Look at verse 5. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Now it says Rahab, but it's really Rahab. Everyone got that? Did you catch that? Do you realize what just happened? Her faith not only preserved her family, but her faith catapulted her into the genealogy of the anointing one. You see that? So in other words, we can say it this way. Jesus' great-grandmama was a... I ain't going to say it. Pastor, I looked up and said, no, I ain't going to say it. But listen, it makes no difference. Here's what I'm trying to share with you. It makes no difference where you came from. It's who you're coming to. See, he's the one that qualifies us. He's the one that cleanses us. He's the one that's put us. Matter of fact, we're in a royal priesthood, aren't we not? And some of us, if we replay up the tape, we know where your past was. I know where my past was. And there's some people watching this right now. It makes no difference where you came from. It makes no difference where you are right now. What makes the difference is your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Everyone got that? So you see how Rahab made the hole? Okay, let's turn to another person. Ready to turn to another person? Okay, turn over to the Judges. Judges chapter 6. Joshua, Judges. Now, this is an interesting one, too. Judges chapter 6. Now, in this chapter, I'm going to highlight a little something here. We're talking about the person of Gideon. Okay? Now, let's see what happened with Gideon, right? Judges chapter 6. Let's pick it up at verse 11. Are you there? And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was at Ophrah, and pertained unto Joash the Abizarite and his son Gideon, who threshed wheat by the winepress to do what? To hide it from who? So here's Josh, here's Gideon. A winepress is here. He's behind it, like I'm behind this TV, and he's threshing wheat here. So you know why he was doing that? What? He was hiding, but why would someone hide? He's afraid? What else? Because here's what happened. How many of you have seen that movie, The Magnificent Seven, the old one? Remember the banditos came into the town and robbed everything and rode off and came back in again? Say, don't worry, we'll be back. You know, that kind of thing, right? So the Midianites were doing that. They would make raids in there. So Gideon is over here behind the wine press threshing wheat, right? Now let's see what happens to him, right? He's doing that. Verse 12, are you there? And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, right? Thou mighty man of what? Valor. Did you catch that? The Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor. Now, what's Gideon doing? I'm hiding out. So he's saying, wait a minute, listen, I don't know who you're talking to. Do you see what I'm doing right now? And you're calling me a mighty man of valor, right? But now let's go a little bit further, right? Now, look at this. And Gideon, verse 13, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us. Now, what did the angel say? What did the Lord say? The Lord is with who? With you. Who is he saying the Lord's not with? Us. You see how he just pushed everything off? See, I'm talking to some of you guys too, Gideon. You know, there's a lot of Gideons in the church today. They're hiding out. They're over in the corner. And God is calling them to greatness, and they're making excuses for themselves. He said, the Lord is with, the angel told them, the Lord is with you. He said, the Lord ain't with us. And listen to what he says. Let's keep on going. He says, why then is all this befallen us? Where be all of what? His miracles, which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Now, hold it right there. Gideon had a valid reason. Now, the story of Gideon happened a generation after they came into the promised land. So Gideon had a valid beef. He said, listen, I heard about all those miracles, but I ain't seeing nothing. You're telling me the Lord is with me? He's not even with us. You know, the young people today, they're saying the same thing in the church. Where's the Lord? And I'm here to tell you this morning that God has and God is going to do, and he's never abandoned it, but miracles, signs, and wonders are to be happening in the church. But how many of our young people have seen that? They haven't seen it. Miracles, say this with me, say miracles, signs, and wonders is the norm in the church. Let me ask you this question. Have you been seeing miracles, signs and wonders? Have you? Tell the truth, have you? Some said they did, some say they don't. But here's what I'm here to tell you. We have to begin to believe to see them. So let's get back to Gideon's story, right? Because now he's making his case to this angel, right? He says, we don't see his signs and wonders, right? And then he says this, and he says, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall you save Israel? How are you going to save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. See, that's another thing that you got to learn to get over. You're going to have to learn to get over your genealogy. You're going to have to learn to get, hey, man, I'm from the hood, you know, and I, you know, I'm leasing my family. When God calls you, listen to this. When God calls you, he already qualified you. You don't have to qualify yourself. He knew where Gideon was coming from. He knew what Gideon was doing. But you see what was happening to Gideon? He began to make excuses and excuses and excuses. He started to back off when God was calling him out. I'm using that word. When God was calling Gideon out, Gideon was backing off of the call. And a lot of us have done that in the church. God has called you to do great things for him, great exploits in the kingdom of God. But you know what you did? You look at your situation. I'm only a woman. I'm up in age. My feet is hurting me. Or I'm too young. I'm a male. I'm black. I'm white. I don't know what I am. But everybody makes excuses. See, don't make excuses. When God says he called you, he will do what? Equip you, right? So now let's get back to Gideon, right? Because Gideon's asking, where's the miracles, right? So now Gideon asked another question. He said, listen, if God is going to do all this, now I'm condensing all of this. He said, if God is going to do what he said he's going to do, he dropped the fleece. He said, okay, I want the fleece to be wet and the ground around it dry. Pulled it up. Fleece wet, drowned dry. He said, okay, if this is God, if this is really God, he took another fleece, dropped it on the ground. He said, I want the ground around it wet and the fleece dry. And what happened? It happened, right? So now Gideon's getting a little bit confident, right? Now, Gideon had to do that, and that's called putting out a fleece, right? How many heard that? We do not put out fleeces, okay? If you put out a fleece, you will get fleeced. Everyone understand that? Say, if I put out a fleece, I will get fleeced. Amen. And how many of us, I don't want to go there, but you know you put out that fleece. Like, if that check come in, I'll marry him. Or if she don't come up pregnant, I'll marry him. Or if he gets that job, I'll marry him. Or, you know, if the pastor picks me out, I'll stay here. Ah, I got quiet. So let's get back to Gideon. Okay, now listen. So now Gideon is getting it together, right? So now follow this story, right? Now, Gideon is saying this, right? Gideon now, is as we move on to this, look at verse 34. Okay? So now Gideon is getting more convinced, right? Look at verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And what did he do? He blew a trumpet, right? And Abiezer was gathered unto him. So now he's starting to get his men together. So here's what happened. God already forecasted, and then he fulfilled it, right? So now Gideon is starting to feel a little something now. So he's getting all these guys, right? So now they're getting ready to go attack the Midianites, right? So he's got his whole bunch. How many of you seen that movie Braveheart where they're all ready to fight? So he's got all his guys there. He knows that God told him to do this. He checked with the fleeces. He's ready to go, right? He blew the trumpet. And now he's ready to go. So he goes to his guys. He looks at all of them. And he says, okay, boys, let's get ready to rumble. And they started running, right? All of a sudden, God stopped and said, stop, Gideon. So Gideon stops. He says, tell that crowd, the ones that don't want to fight, they can go home. So Gideon turns around. He says, okay, boys, listen to this. If you really didn't want to fight in this fight today, you can go home right now. Half of them left. So Gideon looked. He said, man, look at them punks. And he says, I'm glad those punks left, right? So now half of them left. So now Gideon says, okay, boys, let's get ready to rumble. And they're running, right? And what happened? God stops them again. He says, wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. Take them all down to the water. The water? We just getting ready to take them down to the water. So Gideon and all the men go down to the water. An interesting thing happens while they're at the water. What happens is this. The men begin to drink, right? Some men put their whole heads down and they were like drinking this way, right? But then there were 300 men that only crouched, scooped the water in their hands, and was this way. God said, the men that have cupped the water in their hands and knelt, that's your team. Go with them. Now, I'm here to tell you this. Now, listen, I'm going to little side journey. All of those men wanted to do it, right? But where they had to go? To the water. What does the water represent? The Word of God. See, the Word of God is going to sift us out. The Word of God will sift out the players, the pretenders to the contenders. So now, Gideon had how many men? 300, right? So he looks, he tells the other guys, okay, y'all can go. And he tells the 300 men, come here. And all of a sudden he looks up and God says, now you're ready to rumble. So they take off, right? So now they're running, right, to the Midianites, right? And what happens? Now, an interesting thing happens. They split up, right? Now look at this. They split up. Judges chapter 7. I'm running through this real quick, right? They split up, right? Now, what happens is, look at verse 13. While Gideon and the men were getting ready to surround the camp of the Midianites, what happened? Gideon goes down into the camp. Let's read that. Gideon goes down into the camp. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream, right? And told his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came into a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned that tent, laid it along. In other words, destroyed the tent. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. Look at verse 15. And when it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he did what? He worshipped and then returned to the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Now, let me play that out, and we're going to get to this other verse 17. In other words, Gideon up until this point, God was bringing him along in a series of things. But what was the thing God told him from the very beginning? What did he call him? A mighty man of valor. Now he went into the company of the Midianites and he's listening. He's hearing them say, a guy is giving an interpretation of a dream he had. Did you hear that? He gave a dream he had and the guy told him the interpretation, right? So here's what I want to share with you. And this is very important. In this case with Gideon, he received confirmation through revelation. Now God was speaking all the time. But now he goes back up, right? He's worshiping God. He goes back up to his men. Now look at verse 17. Are you there? Read verse 17. And he said unto them, do what? Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so do ye too. Now listen, in the beginning of this, what was Gideon's position and this disposition? Don't look at me. Remember when the angel came to him? Don't look at me. I don't want no part of this, right? But it wasn't until the spirit of the anointing came on him. It wasn't until Gideon accepted what God had already spoken to him. And then what does he tell the men? All of you, look at me and do what I do. And what did they do? They had the pot. They had the lamp in the pot. And what they had to do was they all surrounded the Midianites, right? And at his word, he blew the trumpet. Boom, they hit the pots, right? But there was something they said. They said, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. All right, you got that? Yes. So here's what I'm trying to share with you. There's a lot of Gideons in the church today, right? Hiding out, yes. Trying to talk and talking yourself out of what God has told you to do. But you see, the life of faith is a life of obedience. Mm-hmm. It's a life of taking that step. He took that step. If Gideon never would have took that step, if Gideon never would have heard what God was saying, right? He never would have, they never would have experienced it. And then he said what? Look on me. Turn to your neighbor and say, look on me.
Look on me.
Okay, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Not looking what somebody, I've seen what they're doing. No, look at me. Got that? So now we know that Gideon, they won the battle, right? And they wanted to make him king. But Gideon says something very important. This is what got him into the Hall of Faith. He said, no, I'm not going to be king. The Lord is king over us all. He will be our king, right? So Gideon got in. So we see another person getting in, right? Want to see another one? Because we're talking about the life of faith. Now turn to 2 Kings. I know it's a little bit different message. I know, you know, it's a little different. But what I want you to see is these were regular people, just like you and I. But when confronted with the Word of God and with the Spirit of God, they responded. Amen? So now turn to 2 Kings. And let's look at chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. Now this is an interesting one. Okay? Yeah. 2 Kings chapter 7. Now, just to give you a little backdrop here. This is the kingdom of Samaria, right? They're under siege. The city's under siege. What a siege means is that they're surrounded by their enemy, and you cut off all their ways of coming and means of coming in. So food became scarce, water became scarce, everything became scarce, right? People are, and in this siege, people are about to starve, right? But let's see what happens here. You had 2 Kings chapter 7. Look at verse 1. Now who's speaking? The prophet Elisha. Look at what he says. Then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. You already said, hear the word of the Lord. Meanwhile, they're all in famine and it's destitution, right? Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. You got that? So Elisha is proclaiming, he's prophesying what God is going to do, right? But then look at this, verse 2. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. Now let's just hold it right there. Elisha the prophet spoke under the unction of God, right? Now here's what happened. They were in destitute. People were eating babies. They were eating dog, horse dung and everything. It was bad. But then the prophet gets up and says, this time tomorrow, right? And then he said what he said. See, the king's helper, the king's aide, he wanted to be cute. See, he wanted to be cute and say, well, because the king didn't say nothing either. The king kept his mouth shut. But the guy said, even if God was to open the windows of heaven, how can this thing be? It's just like me saying this to you. This time tomorrow, the Lord, I'm not saying it's true. Okay, everyone got that? Now, let me put that disclaimer out there. This is just for an example. But this time tomorrow, now it could happen, but I'm just saying right now. This time tomorrow, the Lord is going to put $1 million in everybody's account. Everybody got happy about that one, right? But now let's say, for example, everybody got happy on that one. But let's say, for example, the person who's assisting me today, right, Deacon Ken. Now, he wouldn't say this. He wouldn't say this. But let's say he got up and said, Elder Bill, even if God was to open the windows of heaven, how are you going to make that happen? Then I say, okay, you're going to see it, but you won't experience it. That's why never shoot down anything that God is saying by the Spirit. Now, you may not understand it. I like what Pastor Clinton shared us many years ago. When you hear certain things, if it don't witness in your spirit that it's negative, just put it in the ship, put it in the jar, screw it, and put it on top of the shelf for a later time. But don't abandon it, right? So this guy says you're not going to experience it. But now look at verse 3. Here's our guys that are going to go in the Hall of Fame. Are you there? Verse 3, read it. And there were what? 4 leprous men at the entering end of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? Now listen to this. Were those 4 leprous men, were they in the city? No. They were outside the gate. Because they knew if they had went inside that city, what was going to happen? It wasn't going to go well with them. Right? They're going to get stoned. But listen, listen. Four lepers, four outcasts that were outside of the city walls. Everybody in that town, everybody in that city heard what that prophet said and did nothing. You got that? Hello?
Yes.
The life of faith. See, you can't just hear the word of God and do nothing. But what happened to the four lepers? They made a resolve. They said, listen, why sit we here to what? Till we die. Some of you are in a bad situation right now. Why sit you in that situation until it gets worse? You got that? So now listen, let's see what these lepers did. Okay? Are you there? And here's what they said, verse 4. If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. But if they kill us, we shall die. In other words, they had enough sense to know, listen, if we go in there, we're dead. If we stay here, we're dead. In other words, they were in a rock and a hard place, right? They said, but listen, let us go to the enemy, the Syrians. Maybe we'll get something there, right? So follow the story now, right? We're talking about people doing things for God, right? Now, follow this. And they rose up at twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no one there. So when they got there, nobody was there. But now look at verse 6. For the Lord, read it with me. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, a noise of horses, even a noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us, the kings of the Hittites, the kings of the Egyptians, to come upon us. Now hold it right there. You know what just happened? These four lepers, these four outcasts, they said, listen, we're dead here. Let's go. So as they're walking, and I imagine some of, you know, lepers, they don't have all their parts together. So one's probably scraping his leg. And they're not, you know, they're walking. But these four guys, as they begin to walk, you know what happened? God began to amplify their steps. You see that? See, that's why I always, see, faith is not stagnant. Faith is always active. Even if you got to stand up, for some of you that are experiencing symptoms in your body, just stand up and begin to walk. For those of you who are experiencing financial setbacks, begin to look for opportunities to sow. See, and as these lepers, as these four lepers were walking, the Lord magnified their steps. Now, if I got a Bible scholar here and says, well, the scriptures doesn't say that, well, I'll go you one better. As they were walking, God already put something in motion on this side that caused all of them to hear. Man, do you hear that? Man, they got everybody. Everybody, they booked. Everybody ran out. The king, everybody. They left their stuff and ran. So now here's these four lepers walking into a town, right? And they were smart. These lepers were smart. They went in from tent to tent and said, man, they bringing out muffins, cakes, food, gold. See, they were smart. Now listen, these lepers were smart. You know what they did? They took some spoil for themselves and hid it. But now here's how they got into the Hall of Faith. Because you want to wonder, how did they get into the Hall of Faith? I'm glad you asked that. Look at verse 9. Then they said one to another, we do not well this day. Is a day of good tidings, and if we hold our peace, if we tarry to the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So in other words, they were saying this, hey man, this is good. Man, we living high on the hog here. But you know what? It's just not right for us to enjoy this all for ourselves. Let's go and hide something, and let's go tell the king in Samaria that, hey, it's an open buffet table in the Syrian army, right? So we know the story, right? What happened? They ran there. The guy the doubting guy was in the gate. He was watching at the gate. They ran him over, right? Kind of like they're doing those Black Friday sales, right? So here's the important part. Their activity, their movement, their actions God used Amplify. So I want you to think about this. There's no such thing as, well, I can only do this. Because I'm focusing it back here to the church. See, there's no such thing as a person that can't do anything. Everybody can do something. You know, where's he at? Tom O'Reilly. Where's he at? Tom O'Reilly right there. See Tom? Yeah. Tom comes every week, right? He comes, what? Mostly. That's if he's not, now listen, that if he's not out ministering. Got that? How old are you, Tom? How young are you? He's 88. Tom O'Reilly, 88 years old. When he can, he comes here and volunteers. When he's not volunteering here, you know what he's doing? He's ministering in places. God is amplifying his actions. God will amplify our actions. See, right now you're thinking about, well, I only got so much time, and you know, after all, I got to think about me and, you know, the kids and, you know, all this. Listen, don't you know God knows that? I mean, do you think God is smart enough that if he walks up to you and says, man of mighty man of valor, don't you know he knows what you got to contend with? But don't you know this? Here's the other part. Don't you know that when God calls you, he's already seen you from the end to the beginning. He's the one that equips us. So these four lepers, I'm getting back to them. They thought about others. And they said, let's go back. See, now, I know some of you would have said, if we'd have been one of those four lepers, man, later for them. Because if we'd have walked in there, they would have killed us, right? But now that we're walking in, I tell you what, nobody bothered those lepers when they came in with those big sandwiches and that gold, that bling. And they said, hey, we found, you know, the Syrian. Nobody called them unclean then. Matter of fact, there was a rush like that. What's that commercial, that Lotto commercial? Everybody here and everybody runs out the place. Same thing here, right? No different. So the four lepers got in, right? So you see how they got in? Now, they were able to do what? Subdue a kingdom, right? Their efforts worked in concert with God's prophetic word. We have to allow our efforts to work in concert. God already told us he's given us them all. But now, what are all of you doing? Are we hearing? Are we like the people in Samaria? Amen. But nothing was done. Or is it going to take the outcast, people that are not even here, outside this church, hearing that, saying, hey, man, they're going to take them all. Pastors, they call the pastor. Pastors, you need me to help you take them all, I'll take it with you. Amen? It sure got quiet in here now, right? It's gotten quiet. Okay, but here, listen. Their efforts worked in concert with God. Amen? And they were what? Four lepers. Now, here's the last one we're going to look at. Turn over to John chapter 6. The Gospel of John. Chapter 6. So already, we've already looked at this. We've discovered that there was one woman whose profession wouldn't be allowed in the regular churches, but God used her, right? Then we saw a guy who was a chicken who became William Wallace, right? Braveheart, right? Then we see the four lepers, right? Guys that nobody would have went around touch, but help deliver and bring food to them, right? People you wouldn't have thought about, but they're in the Hall of Fame, Hall of Faith. Now, you had John chapter 6?
Yes.
Okay, John chapter 6. Now, let's pick up at verse 5. Is everyone there? Okay, read along with me. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now look at, I like this, look at verse 7, this is funny. And Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, and every one of them may take a little. Hold it right there. Now, Jesus knew what he was going to do, right?
Yes.
But what did he do? He asked Philip, right? Now, I always have fun with this because I always envision these disciples were people, and they had personalities. So Philip was the kind of guy, you know, these techie guys that try to figure out everything. Well, Jesus, you know, really, what we're trying to do, Jesus, you know, the coefficients, and there's only about so many people here. And, you know, if we were to do this, and I checked with the shekel bag, and we don't have enough to do this, Jesus, I don't think we can do this, Jesus. That's Philip to me. The analytical, the guy that thinks too much. Everyone got that? And sometimes when God is asking us to do something, he knows what he's going to do. He just wants you to join in and agree with him, right? So now, but then I look at the other guy, Andrew. Now, Andrew to me, Andrew's Peter's brother, right? And probably they probably didn't like Philip too much, right? So he wants to one up him, right? So Andrew says, hey, man, you know, Andrew comes, you know, because remember, this is a big group. It's like right now, you guys are hungry, right? And we're looking to get something to eat. And I asked our Philip, and our Philip says, well, it will take about, you know, maybe 500 pies. Okay? But the point I'm making is, but we're trying to figure this out. So now, Andrew comes with who? Who does Andrew comes with? Verse 9. A little boy, a little lad. There is a lad here which have what? 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Now, did you hear Andrew? Andrew said, listen, I'm not as bad as he is. All we could scrap up, Jesus, was this little boy, and he got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but I don't even know what that's going to do amongst all of this. Once again, Andrew's thinking what? Naturally. Got that? But now, what happened? Jesus did what? Notice what Jesus did here. And Jesus said, he didn't ask him, what do you mean only 5? He knew what he was going to do, right? But what did he say? He said, make them sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. Okay? And Jesus took the loaves when he had given thanks. Got that? And he distributed to the disciples. Now, we know the rest of the story, right? But here's the person we're focusing in on this morning. You know who we're focusing in on? The little boy. The little boy. Because out of that whole group, like right now, if we had to eat, who got food on them right now? You got that? But the little boy, not a woman, not a man, but the little boy, he brought what he had because he knew Andrew and all the disciples there. He probably came up there and said, I got this. So Andrew said, okay, come on, boy, come with me. But the point is, the little boy, and what did he have? 5 loaves, 2 fish. Now, here's what I'm thinking about. Everybody went out there to hear Jesus preach, right? You mean they didn't have sense enough to bring a sandwich? But that's another story. But the point here is this. The point here is this. The little boy brought what he had. Listen to this. The little boy had sense enough to bring what he had to the anointing. Hallelujah. See, Jesus is not in God, Jesus. They're not so concerned about how much you have. Yeah. God is not concerned about how much you have. Yeah. What he's concerned about is what are you doing with what you have? Amen. See, we just got finished confessing. We called in $80,000 each week into this ministry, right? Now, some of you were sitting back and saying, hey, I ain't got no $80,000. All I got is $2. And I don't want to be embarrassed and let somebody see me put that in. But you know what? You take what you have and bring it to the anointing. You follow that? So that little boy, now I'm going to take a step back. That little boy had what? Who did he have? Who did he have? What does every little boy have? But what kind of parents here? Mother. I think the mother did this. The mother at least bagged bread and fish and sent them out there, right? And that's how some of our religious groups got going. They don't go on no trip without chicken in a bag and biscuits. I know. I'm only kidding. But the point I'm making is, think about this boy's mother. This boy's mother had enough sense to say, son, you're going to go. I want you to go. Jesus is going to be preaching. I want you to go, but take this with you. Now, I believe that mother was like my mother. See, my mother always not only gave something for us, but she always said, take a little bit more to give to somebody else. Do you see that? Amen. And I'll tell you another thing. That little boy was raised right. Because that had been some of us. Now, let's go back to here. Everybody hungry. I'm preaching long, and someone back there got a little fish sandwich, right? They're going to go turn around. God can, right? Right? But the boy was taught to take what he had and share. So he brought that to Jesus. What did Jesus do? What did he do? He blessed it. Now listen, hold on. This is where people miss it. See, the religious mind, I want you to change. I want, the Holy Spirit wants you to renew your mind. Everybody, I used to think this too. Jesus multiplied the bread and the fish because it was Jesus. Jesus can do whatever he wanted to do, right? How many of you ever heard that? How many of you believe that? But the truth of the matter was, in order for that miracle to be manifested, he needed something tangible. Remember, he said he knew what he was going to do? He knew in that crowd, by the gifts of the Spirit, that there was a boy with fish and loaves. He knew that. That boy brought that to Jesus, right? And what did Jesus do? He brought it before the Father. He blessed it. Okay? He blessed it. Then he gave instruction. He said, break off a piece, pass it down this way. Break off a piece, pass it down that way. Break it off down that way. So as they were going down, and they had the fish going the same way, and if you notice, it wasn't helter-skelter. So I want you to think about it this way. Everything that God places in your hand has the potential to produce. It makes no difference how much it is. Don't think, remember that song, Little is Much When God Is In It? Okay, that's nice, but here's the truth of the matter. God will multiply our seed sown. Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're talking about the faith life. I know it doesn't sound so much rah-rah and jumping all over the place, but if you can grasp what God is saying, he's showing us that he wants to do the miraculous through each and every one of us. Now look at verse 10. Are you there? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Now he that ministers what? Seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now turn back to John. Turn back to John chapter 6. Because I want you to see this. I don't want you to miss this. So Jesus took the loaves, verse 11, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples to them that sat down, likewise of the fishes as much as they would. In other words, people were eating as much as they wanted. You got that? Then they were what? They were what? They were filled. He said unto his disciples what? Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore he gathered them together and filled how many baskets? 12 baskets with fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remain how? Over, say over. Over and above. Say over and above. Unto them that had eaten. You got that?
Yes.
So here's what happened. Jesus took the bread, the loaves and the fish, broke it down into 12 because he had his 12. He had them distributed. As they were distributing it, God was multiplying it. And what happened? What happened? Was there any leftovers? Yeah, there were leftovers. You believe it. So where did the leftovers come? Where did they go? Where did the leftovers go? What? Where do you think the leftovers went? Into the next building fund or the next campaign? No, I'm going to tell you where it went. Are you ready? Okay, turn in your Bibles. Where's it at? Okay, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. I had the Holy Spirit show me this several years ago. Proverbs chapter 19. And let's see, verse 17. I'll wait for you to get there. Are you there? Okay, read it with me. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he do what? Pay him again. Do you see that? That's a principle. He that pitieth the poor. Did that little boy pity the poor?
Yes.
Who did he lend to?
The Lord.
The Lord. So now what was the Lord going to do? P- Pay him back again. Didn't Jesus do that with Peter in his fishing boat?
Yes.
What did he do? He said, Peter, launch out on your boat because I need to preach, right? He put it in God's service, right? But then when it was all through, did Jesus pat Peter on the back and say, all right, boy, see you next week? What did he do? He told him, go out now and launch your net for a huge catch, right? Peter didn't believe him. But you know why? Jesus was operating on the Proverbs chapter, this Proverbs right here. He was operating on the Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. See? So the boy got the goods. Does everyone see that? So now, here's where we're tying this all together. Elder Floyd, where are you going with all of this? We've seen here in these examples that I gave you, one person, the Rahab, she wrought righteousness, did she not? She through her acts, right? We see with Gideon, God used to what? Subdue a kingdom. We saw through the four lepers that God did what? He restored what he said he was going to do, right? But he used them. And here it is, we see the little boy, God using him to give of what he had for the sake of the kingdom of God, all right? So now think about it this way, with us, in our lives, okay? There are three things that God wants us to give. Three things. Write these down. God, and we can honor God with these three things. And each and every one of us have these, okay? We can honor God with our time, okay? Volunteering. We can honor God with our talent. That's your ability. I'm in a room full of talented people. This room is filled with talented people that can carry on the work of this ministry. See, God has already spoken to us about what he's going to do. But here's what happened. A lot of us are like Gideons. We're hiding out. And not me, man. You know, you must be talking to somebody else. Right? But this room is filled with talent, filled with ability. So God wants our time, our talent, and the last thing. You know what the last thing he wants? Your treasure. Okay? Now, here's what I want to say. Don't look at what you have as being small and insignificant. Don't look at your life. Don't look at what God has called you to do. See, everybody, when I first came to this church, everybody I ran into, they saying, oh, God called me. God called me to preach. God called me to this. Okay, but I didn't see them doing anything in the church. All these preachers that God called, but I ain't seen them work in a vacuum. But I seen some people in this church that will work a vacuum. And I was one of them. I've seen some people that will clean bathrooms. And I was one of them. But I seen God, as they were faithful with what they had to do, God moved them into another area. See, God moves you into that next area because of your faithfulness. He doesn't move you because you drive a nice car. Everyone got that? I know it got quiet in here again. Okay? But here's the thing. God will use each and every one of us as we avail ourselves to him. Amen? You got that? Now, I'm going to close with this. You know that commercial, the guy runs up to you, he's like a Viking or whatever, and he says, what's in your wallet, you know? And he really wants to know what's in your wallet. Well, I'm going to say this, with what we talked about this morning, the life of faith, how God responds to your faith, how we need to respond to him by obedience. And I want to ask you this simple question. What's in your heart? What's in your heart? With every head bowed, no one move, please. The first step of the life of faith begins when we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives. So if you're here this morning, or if you're here on the internet and you just tuned in, you too can accept and receive this gift. The best gift that you can ever receive throughout all eternity is Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So say this with me. Say, Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus, come into my heart. Make something new and good in me. I thank you because I believe you. And with the confession of my mouth, I believe in my heart that Jesus, you are the Son of God. And I thank you for giving me salvation today. In the name of Jesus. Now, with every head bow, if you're still here, if you're here, and if you never made that confession before, you never believed that confession before, what I would like you to do is please come down here to the front. I would be more than honored to just lead you in a brief prayer. We have some information that we would like to give to you so that you can know who you are in this new life. Amen? So we're going to take a few moments. I know we didn't have any visitors, but there may be somebody on the internet. And if you have made that confession and you believe that, then I want you to write the ministry. Email the ministry. We'll make sure we get that information to you. Amen? Now, the next appeal is this. We talked about the life of faith. We just talked about certain people, ordinary people. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God when they begin to respond and believe and become obedient. If you're here this morning, and you know this without a question, without a shadow of a doubt, that God has called you to do great things for him, not only in this church. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about God has called you to do some great things. You come down here right now. Or God, or this message, as we've been talking about it, it's been speaking to your heart. It's been challenging you to say, you know what? I'm going to take that step. Just like those four lepers, they took that step. And when they took that step, God multiplied their efforts. God, and as Gideon, as he was obedient to follow what God told him to do, then he fulfilled what God called him to do. I know there's people here that God has spoken to your heart. He's spoken to you and you've resisted. You kind of step back. You kind of talked yourself out of it. Don't talk yourself out of what God has called you to. His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. God is calling you out right now. He's calling you out, not me. I'm only doing what he told me to do. I'm only going to be obedient to do what he tells me to do. I'm only going to be obedient to say what he tells me to say. But there are Gideons here, champions for Christ, champions for Christ. There are Esthers here that are champions for Christ, that are going to do great exploits in the kingdom of God in the days ahead. If you're here this morning, just come up to the front here. I'm going to pray. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. See, God is good. He's a perfect gentleman. He will not call you out. And I got news for you. When he calls you, he's already equipped you. Remember that. You don't have to qualify. See, sometimes what happens is we look at our past, we look at our lives and say, you know what? You know, I messed up back then in the day and, you know, God can't use me. God can use everyone, everyone and anyone. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are valuable to the kingdom of God. But what you're going to do this morning or what we're going to do this afternoon is make a declaration. We are going to declare and decree that God's plan and purpose for our lives, he will fulfill. Everyone got that? God's plan and purpose for your life, he will fulfill. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to convince anybody. I'll say it as best I can, and then I'm going to pray. You know, when God called me, I'll tell you right now, I was student teaching. I was Hunter College student. I was student teaching. It was during a time when I was being evaluated for my presentation. I was teaching. I'll never forget. I was on 96th Street, the 92nd Street, First Avenue, the elementary school there. My supervisor was there watching me, evaluating everything I'm doing. In the school, they did what they called team teaching. What that meant was a bunch of classes all together, and as a teacher, we would teach a subject. The subject I was teaching on was time. I was doing I was integrating science with math with this fourth, fifth, and sixth grade class, and I was teaching them about time. So now I'm doing my presentation, and all of a sudden I hear this voice say, "I've called you to preach my gospel." And it seemed like everything froze. And I ignored it. I ignored it. I kept on teaching. Then I heard the voice again, "I've called you to preach my gospel." So now here's what I'm like you. See, God has called you to do some things, and if you're not careful and mindful of it, you'll talk yourself out of it. The devil will talk you out of it. Don't let the devil talk you out of what God's called you to. There should be more people up here in the front. I know that by the Spirit. There should be more people up here. Because I know this, the devil has talked you out of some things. Don't let him talk you out of it anymore. It makes no difference what happened in your past. Your past is under the blood. Everyone got that? Say that. Say, my past is under the blood. If you're in Christ, then your past is under the blood.